Osho, Bigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary. Discourse number 29, given in Bombay, India.
Tantra divides life in two dimensions. The sansara, that which is the world, and the moksha, that which can be the ultimate, the hidden, which can become manifest. But there is no contradiction between these two. Hidden is just here and now in the world. Of course, unknown to you, but not non-existent. It is there. The ultimate and the immediate are not two things, just two dimensions of one existence. So for Tantra, there is no contradiction. There is no duality. The one appears as two because of our limitations, because we cannot see the whole. The moment we can see the whole, one appears as one. The division is not in reality, but in our limited knowledge. That which we know is sansara, the world. And that which is unknown, but can be known, is the moksha, the transcendent, the ultimate, the absolute. For other traditions, there is a conflict between the two. For Tantra, there is no conflict. This has to be taken very deeply in the mind and in the heart. Unless this is taken deeply, you will never be able to understand the viewpoint of Tantra. And whatsoever is your belief, the belief is of duality. Whether you are a Christian, a Mohammedan, or a Hindu, or a Jaina, your belief is of duality, of conflict. The world appears to be something which is against the divine. And you have to fight the world to reach the divine. This is the common belief of all so-called religions. Particularly organized religions. Mind can understand duality very easily. Rather, it can only understand the duality. Because the very function of the mind is to divide. The very function of the mind is to cut the whole into fragments. The mind works like a prism. And when a ray of light enters the prism, it is divided into seven colors. Mind is a prism and reality is divided through it. That's why mind revels in analysis. It goes on dividing into fragments, and it cannot prevent itself unless there is nothing to be divided more. So mind has a tendency to reach to the atomic, the lowest division, It goes on dividing, dividing, and a moment comes where no division is possible. If division is possible, it will divide it also. Mind goes to the fragment, to the minutest fragment. And reality is a whole, not the fragment. So a completely reverse process is needed to know the real. A process which is of synthesis, not of analysis. A process which crystallizes, not divides. So a no-mind process is needed. Tantra denies to divide. And Tantra says that the whole is whole. The part that we know is the world. The part that is hidden is the divine, the God, or whatsoever you name it. But the hidden is just here and now. You are not aware of it, but it is here and now. It is already. It is for you to be in the future, but in existence it is here and now. You may have to travel to it. You may have to attain a no-mind attitude of looking at things. Then it will be revealed. Just you are standing and the morning sun is rising, but you are standing with closed eyes. The morning is here and now, but for you it is not here and now. You will open the eyes only. It will become a fact to you. With closed eyes, in existence, the morning exists, but not for you. You are close to it. It is hidden for you. Only darkness is for you, and the light is hidden. But if you open the eyes, any moment, the morning will become a fact. It was already the fact, only you were blind. Tantra says, the world is already the divine, but you are blind. So whatsoever you know in your blindness is to be called the world, and whatsoever is hidden because of your blindness is the divine. So this is one of the basic tenets, that this samsara is the moksha. This very world is divine. This very world is the ultimate. The immediate and the ultimate are not two, but one. The here and there are not two, but one. Because of this insistence, many things become possible for Tantra. One, Tantra can accept everything. And the deep acceptability relaxes you completely. Nothing else can relax you. A deep acceptability, if there is no division between this world and that, if the transcendent is imminent here and here, now, if the matter is just the body of the divine, then nothing is denied, nothing is condemned. You need not be tense. Even if it may take ages for you to come to realize the divine, there is no hurry for Tantra. It is already there. And time is not lacking. It is eternally here. Whenever you will open the eyes, you will get it. And whatsoever you are already getting is hidden divine. So the Christian attitude of condemnation of sin, or of other religions' attitude, is totally aligned to Tantra and absurd. Because if you condemn something, you also become divided inwards. You cannot divide things only outwards. If you divide, you will also be divided parallelly. If you said this world is wrong, then your body will become wrong, because your body is part of this world. If you say this world is something which is a hindrance to reach the ultimate, then your whole life will be condemned and you will feel guilty. Then you cannot enjoy. Then you cannot live. Then you cannot love. Then seriousness will become your face. You can be only serious. You cannot be non-serious. You cannot be playful. That has happened to all the monks all over the world. They become dead serious. And through seriousness, they become dead. Because they cannot accept life as it is. They deny it. And they feel unless they deny it, they cannot reach the other. So other becomes the ideal, the future, the desires, the ambition. And this world becomes a sin. Then one feels guilty within. And any religion that makes you guilty makes you neurotic. It is driving you crazy. In this sense, Tantra is the only healthy religion. And whenever any religion becomes healthy, it becomes through Tantras. It becomes Tantric. So every religion has two aspects. The outward aspect, the church organization, the publicized, the public face, the exoteric, it is always life-denying. And one inner core, every religion has that, the esoteric, it is always tantric, the total accepting. Because unless you accept the world totally, you cannot be at ease within. The non-acceptance creates a tension. Once you accept everything as it is, you are at home in the world. Tantra says this is a basic thing. You must be at home. Only then something more becomes possible. If you are tense, divided, in conflict, anguish, in guilt, how can you transcend? You are so much messed inside, you cannot travel further. You are so much engaged here, so much possessed by the here, you cannot go beyond. This seems paradoxical. Those who are too much against the world are too much in it. They have to be. You cannot go away from your enemy. You are possessed by the enemy. If the world is your enemy, whatsoever you do or pretend to do, you will remain worldly. You may even go against it. You may renounce it. But your very approach is worldly. I have seen one saint, a very renowned one, he will not touch money. And if you put some coins before him, he will close his eyes. this is neurotic. This man is ill. But what he is doing? But people worship him because of this. They think he is too otherworldly. He is not. He is too much in the world. Even you are not so much in the world. What he is doing, he has just reversed the process. He is standing on his head. He is the same man. The same man who was greedy of money. Constantly he must have been thinking of money, accumulating, possessing. Now he has become quite the opposite. But he remains within the same. Now he is against money. Now he cannot touch. Why this fear? Why this hatred? Remember, whenever there is hatred, remember, it is love gone reverse. You cannot hate a thing unless you are in deep in love with it. You can hate only if you have been in love with it. Hate is always possible only through love. You can be against only if you have been too much for it. But the basic attitude remains the same. This man is greedy. And I ask this man, why you are so much afraid? He said, money is the hindrance. Unless I win my greed towards money, I cannot reach the divine. So now it is again a new sort of greed. He is in a bargain. If he touches money, he loses the divine. And he wants to get the divine. Now he wants to possess the divine. He is against the money. Tantra says that don't be for the world, don't be against the world, just accept it as it is. Don't create any problem out of it. And why? How this is going to help you? If you don't create any problem out of it, if you don't go neurotic about it, this way or that, if you remain simple in it and accept it as it is, your whole energy is relieved from it and can move to the hidden realm, to the hidden dimension. Acceptance in this world becomes transcendence for that. Total acceptance here will lead you, will transform you to the other dimension, the hidden dimension. Because your all energy is relieved. It is not engaged here. Tantra believes deeply in the concept of niyati, fate. Tantra says, take this world as your fate and don't be worried about it. Once you take it as your niyati, as your fate, you accept it, whatsoever it is. You are not worried to change it, to make it different, to make it according to your desires. Once you accept it as it is, and you are not bothered by it, your total energy is relieved. And this energy can penetrate inwards. These techniques can be helpful only if you take this attitude, otherwise they will not be helpful. And they look so simple. If directly as you are, you start them, they look simple, but you will not succeed in them. The basic framework is lacking. Acceptance is the basic framework. Once in the background, the acceptance is, these very simple methods will work wonders. The sixth method. Intone a sound audibly, then less and less audibly, as feeling deepens into this silent harmony. Intone a sound audibly, then less and less audibly, as feeling deepens into this silent harmony. Any sound will do. But if you love a certain sound, it will be better. Because if you love a certain sound, then the sound is not just sound. And when you intone the sound, you are also intoning a hidden feeling with it. And by, sound will be dropped, and only feeling will remain. The sound has to be used as a passage towards feeling. Sound is mind and feeling is heart. Mind has to be used as a passage towards heart. It is difficult to enter the heart directly because we have been missing it so much, and for so many lives we don't know from where to move to the heart. How to enter it? The door seems closed. We go on talking about the heart, but that talk also is just in the mind. We say that we love through the heart, but this too is cerebral. This thing is too cerebral in the head. Even the talk of the heart is in the head. And we don't know where the heart is. Not the physical part of it. We know about it. But then physicians will say, medical science will say, that there is no possibility of love in it. It is just a pumping system. Nothing else in it. And all else is just myth and poetry and dreaming. But Tantra knows a deep center hidden behind your physical heart. But that deep center can only be reached through the mind, because we are standing in the mind. We are there in the head. And any travel inwards has to begin from there. Mind is sound. If all sound stops, you won't have any mind. In silence, there is no mind. That's why I have so much insistence on silence. Silence is a no-mind state. Ordinarily, we say, my mind is silent. This is absurd, meaningless. Because mind means absence of silence. So you cannot say mind is silent. If mind is, there cannot be any silence. And when silence is, there is no mind. So there is nothing such a thing as silent mind. There cannot be. It is just saying that someone is alive, dead. It makes no sense. If he is dead, then he is not alive. If he is alive, then he is not dead. And you cannot be alive dead. There is nothing like silent mind. When silence comes, mind is not there. Really, mind goes out and silence comes in. Silence comes in, mind goes out. Both cannot be there. Mind is sound. If the sound is systematic, you are sane. If the sound has gone chaotic, you are insane. But in both the cases, sound is there. And we exist at the point of mind. So how to drop from that point to the inner point of heart? Use sound, intone sound. One sound will be helpful. If there are many sounds in the mind, it is difficult to leave them. If there is only one sound, it can be left easily. So first, many sounds are to be sacrificed for one sound. That's the use of concentration. Intone one sound. Go on intoning it, first audibly, so that you can hear it, and then by and by, slowly, inaudibly. No one else can hear it then, but you can hear it inside. Go on slowing it, less and less audible, and then suddenly drop it. And there will be silence, explosion of silence. But feeling will be there. Now there will be no thought, but feeling will be there. That's why it is good to use a sound, a name, a mantra, for which you have some feeling. If a Hindu uses Ram, he has some feeling for it. It is not simply a word for him. It is not only in his head. The vibrations reach to his heart also. He may not be aware, but it is deep rooted in the bones, in the very blood. A long tradition, a long conditioning. And in many lives, if you have been attached to one sound continuously, it is very deep-rooted. Use it. It can be used. If a Christian uses Ram, he can use it, but it will remain in the mind. It will not go deep. It is better that he uses Jesus or Maria or something else. It is very easy to be influenced by a new idea, but it is difficult to use it. You don't have any feeling for it. Even if you are convinced in the mind that this will be better, this conviction is on the surface. One of my friends was ill in Germany. He was there for 30 years. He completely forgot his mother tongue. He was a Marathian. His mother tongue was Marathi. He completely forgot it. For 30 years, he was using German. German became just like his mother tongue. I say just like, because no other tongue can become your mother tongue. There is no possibility. Because the mother tongue remains deep down in you. He consciously forgot it. He was not able to speak or understand. Then he fell ill. And he was so ill that his whole family had to go there to see him. He was unconscious. Sometimes consciousness will come. Whenever he will become conscious, he will speak German. And whenever he will become unconscious, he will mutter Marathi. When he was unconscious, he will speak in his unconsciousness Marathi. When he was conscious, he will speak German. Consciously, he couldn't understand anything of Marathi. Unconsciously, he couldn't understand anything of German. Deep in the unconscious, Marathi remained. It was the mother tongue. And you cannot replace it. You can put other things over and above it. You can overimpose other things. You cannot replace it. Deep down, it will remain. So if you have a feeling for a certain sound, it is better to use it. Don't use an intellectual sound. That is of no help. Because the sound has to be used as a passage from the mind to the heart. So use some sound which you have a deep love, a certain feeling. If a mountain uses Ram, it is very difficult. The word means nothing. That's why two oldest religions never believed in conversion, Hinduism and Jews. Two oldest religions, two original religions, because all other religions are just offshoots of these two religions. Christianity and Islam are offshoots of Jewish tradition. Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism are offshoots of Hinduism. These two original religions never believed in conversion. And the reason was this, that you can convert a man intellectually, but you cannot convert a man from his heart. So whatsoever you take away, you cannot give him. You can convert a Hindu to be a Christian. You can convert a Christian to be a Hindu. But the conversion will remain of the mind. Deep down, a converted Hindu remains a Hindu. He may go to the church and he may pray to Maryam or to Jesus, but this prayer remains of the head. You cannot change the unconscious. And if you hypnotize him, you will find he is a Hindu. Hypnotize him and let him reveal his unconscious, you will find he is a Hindu. Hindus and Jews never believed in conversion because of this basic fact. You cannot change a man's religion because you cannot change his heart and unconscious feelings, and then you disturb him. Because you give him something which will remain on the surface, and you divide him, and he becomes a split personality. Deep down, he is a Hindu. On the surface, he is a Christian. He will use Christian sounds, mantras, which will not go deep, and he cannot use Hindu sounds, which can go deep. You have disturbed his life. So find out a certain sound for which you have any feeling. Even your own name may be helpful. Even your own name. If you don't have any feeling for anything else, then your own name will be helpful. There are many cases on record. One very famous mystic, Buck, used his own name because he said, I don't believe in any God, I don't know about, I don't know what is his name. All names I have heard, but there is no proof that this is his name. And I am in search of myself, so why not use my own name? So he will use his own name. And just using his own name, he will drop down into silence. If you don't have any love, use your own name. But it is very difficult, because we are so condemning towards ourselves that you don't have any feeling. You don't have any respect about yourself. Others may be respectful towards you. You are not respectful towards yourself. So the first thing is to find out any sound will be helpful. Your lover's name, your beloved's name. If you love a flower, then rose will do. Or anything. Or any sound that you feel good using it, uttering it, listening it. You feel a certain well-being coming to you. Use it. If you cannot find, then there are some suggestions from traditional sources. Om can be used, Amin can be used, Maria can be used, Ram can be used, Buddha's name, Mahavir's name, any name that you have a love for. But the feeling must be there. That's why Guru's name can be helpful, if you have the feeling. But feeling is essential. Intone a sound audibly, then less and less audibly, as feeling deepens into this silent harmony. And go on reducing the sound. Intone it more slowly, more inaudibly. Even you have to make an effort to hear it inside. Go on dropping. And you will feel the change. The more sound will drop, the more you will be filled up with feeling. Then sound disappears, only feeling remains. This feeling cannot be named. A love, a deep love, not towards anyone. This is the difference. When you use a sound or a word, the love is attached to the labels. You say Ram, 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 you have deep feeling for this word. But the feeling is addressed to Ram, narrowed to Ram. When you will go on reducing Ram, a moment will come, Ram disappears, the sound disappears. Now the only feeling remains, the feeling of love, not towards Ram. It is now not addressed. Simple feeling of love. Not towards anyone, not even towards, a simple feeling of love, as if you are in an ocean of love. When it is not addressed, then it is of heart. When it is addressed, it is of the head. Love towards someone is through the head. Simple love is of the heart. And when love is simple, unaddressed, it becomes prayer. If it is addressed, it is yet not prayer. You are just on the way. That's why I say you cannot start. If you are a Christian, you cannot start as a Hindu. You should start as a Christian. If you are a Mohammedan, you cannot start as a Christian. You should start as a Mohammedan. But the deeper you go, the lesser you will be a Mohammedan and a Christian and a Hindu. The start only will be Hindu, Mohammedan, Christian. The more you will proceed towards the heart and the sound will be less and less and feeling more and more, you will be less a Hindu, less a Mohammedan. And when the sound disappears, you will be simple, a human being. No Hindu, no Mohammedan, no Christian. That is what is the meaning of sects and religion. Religion is one, sects are many. Sects help you to begin. And if you think that they are the end, then you are finished. They are just the beginning. And you have to leave them and quit. Because beginning is not the end. In the end is religion. In the beginning is just a sect. Use the sect towards religion. Use the limited towards the unlimited. Use the finite towards the infinite. Any sound will do. Find out your own sound. And when you will intone it, you will feel whether you have a loving relationship with it. Because the heart will start vibrating. Your whole body will begin to be more sensitive. You will feel that as if you are falling into something warm. Just as if in your beloved sleep, something warm enveloping you. And this is exactly a physical feeling also, not simply a mental feeling. If you intone a sound which you love, you will feel a certain warmth around you, inside you. Then the world is not a cold world. It is warm. If you have gone to a Hindu temple, you must have heard the word garbhagriha, the womb house. The innermost center of the temple is known as garbh, the womb. You might not have observed why it is called the womb. If you intone the sound of the temple, and every temple has its own sound, its own mantra, its own Ishtadevata, the deity, and the related mantra of the deity. If you intone that sound in the temple, the same warmth is created as it is in the womb of the mother. That's why the garbha, the womb of the temple, is made just similar to the womb of the mother. Round shaped, closed, almost closed, only with one opening. When Christians came for the first time to India and they discovered Hindu temples, they felt that these temples are really unhygienic, not ventilated at all, only one with a door. But the womb is only with one door and not ventilated at all. That's why the temple was made only with one door, just womb. And if you intone that sound, that womb becomes alive. And it is called also the garbha, the womb, because you can get a new birth there. you can become a new man. If you intone this sound that you love, that you have feeling for, you will create a sound womb around you. So it is good not to practice this method under open sky. You are very weak. You cannot fill the whole sky with your sound. It is better to choose a small room. And if the room is such that it vibrates your sound, it is good. It helps you. And if you can choose the same place every day, it will be very good. It becomes charged. Same sound, repeated every day. Every atom, the very space, becomes a milieu. That's why in temples, followers of other religions were not allowed. That was not anything wrong. In Mecca, no one can enter if he is not a Mohammedan. And this is good. Nothing is wrong in it because it belongs to a particular science. One who is not a Mohammedan goes there with a sound which will be disturbing to the whole milieu. If a Mohammedan is not allowed into a Hindu temple, there is no insult in it. And all those social reformers who don't know anything about temples, religion, and the esoteric science, they go on giving slogans and nonsense slogans, and they are disturbing everything. A Hindu temple is for Hindus. Because a Hindu temple is a particular place, a created place, and for millennia they have been working on it to make it alive, and anyone can disturb it. That disturbance is very dangerous. A temple is not a public place. It is for a particular purpose and for particular people. It is not for visitors. That's why visitors were not allowed in old days. Now they are allowed because we don't know what we are doing. A visitor cannot be allowed. It is not a place to see and to go and sightseeing. It is a created space filled with particular vibrations. If you enter in it, even if you are not using the mantra, if it is a Ram's temple and you are born in a family where Ram's name has been sacred, loved, and you enter a alive space which is always filled with Rama's name, even if you don't want to chant, you will start chanting. The space all around will press you. Those vibrations all around will hit you. You will start chanting deep down. So use a place, a temple is good. And these methods are temple methods. A temple is good. Or a mosque, or a church. Your own house is not good for these methods. Because so many sounds, you have a chaotic space around you. And you are not so strong that you can change. Just by your sound, you can change the space. You are not so. So it is better to go to a certain place which belongs to a certain sound and then use it. And it is good to go to the same place every day. By and by you will become powerful. By and by you will drop down from the mind to the heart. Then you can do it anywhere. Then the whole cosmos becomes your temple. Then there is no problem. But in the beginning, it is good to choose the place, and if you can even choose the time, exit time, the same time every day, it is good, because then the temple waits for you. Exit time and the temple waits for you. It is more receptive. It is happy that you have come. The whole space, and I mean physically, and this is not a symbolic thing, physically. Just as if you take your meals every day at a particular time, that particular time your whole body feels the hunger. The body has its own inner clocks. It feels the hunger exactly at that time. If you go to sleep every day at a particular time, your whole body gets ready at that particular period. If you change every day your sleeping time and your food time, you are disturbing your body. And now they say your age will be affected by it. If you go on daily changing your body routine, and if you were going to be alive for 8 years, you will be alive only for 7 years. 10 years will be lost. And if you go regularly with the body clock, and if you were going to live 8 years, you may live 90 very easily. 10 years can be added. Exactly like this, everything all around you has its own clock. And the world moves in a cosmic time. If you enter the temple exactly the same time every day, the temple is ready for you, and you are ready for the temple. These two readinesses meet. And results are magnified thousandfold. Or you can create a small corner in your house, but then don't use that corner for any other purpose. Because every purpose has its own vibrations. If you use that corner for a business purpose, or you play cards there, that space becomes confused. And now these confusions even can be recorded on mechanical devices, that the space is confused. If you can create a corner in your house, a small temple, it is very good. If you can afford a small temple, that is the first thing to be tried. But don't use it for any other purpose. Let it be absolutely private for you. And results come very sooner then. The second, with mouth slightly open, keep mind in the middle of the tongue, or as breath comes silently in, feel the sound ha. With mouth slightly open, keep mind in the middle of the tongue, or as breath comes silently in, feel the sound ha. Mind can be focused anywhere in the body. ordinarily we have focused this in the head. It can be focused anywhere. And with the change of the focus, your qualities change. For example, in many Eastern countries, Japan, China, Korea, traditionally it has been thought that the mind is in the belly, not in the head. And because of this, those who thought that mind is in the belly, they had different qualities of the mind. You cannot have those qualities because you think mind is in the head. Mind is nowhere. Brain is in the head. Mind is not there. Mind means you are focusing. You can focus it anywhere. And once focused, it is very difficult to remove it from there. For example, now they say, psychologists and workers who are doing research in human death, now they say that when you are making love, your mind must move from the head to the genital area. Otherwise, your sex will be a frustration. If it remains in the head, you cannot go deep in sex. No orgasm will result. And the experience will not be orgasmic. It will not give you the peak. You may produce children, but you will not have known what is the highest peak of love. You have not known that about which Tantra talks, or Khajuraho temple depicts. You cannot reach. Have you seen Khajuraho? Or if you have not seen Khajuraho, you might have seen pictures of Khajuraho temple. Look at the faces, couples making love. Look at the faces. The faces look divine. In the act of sex, but the faces are as ecstatic as any Buddha's face. What is happening to them? This sex is not cerebral. They are not making love through the head. They are not thinking about it. They have dropped down from the head. Their focusing has changed. Because of this dropping from the head, their consciousness has moved to the genital area. Their mind is no more. The mind has become no mind. Their faces have the same ecstasy as a Buddha has. This sex has become a meditation. Why? Because the focus has changed. Once you can change the focus of your mind, if you remove it from the head is relaxed. The face is relaxed. Then all tensions have dissolved. You are not there. The ego is not there. That's why the more man becomes intellectual, rational, the less capable he becomes of love. Because love needs a different focusing. In love you need a focusing near the heart, in sex you need a focusing near the genital center. If you are doing mathematics, the head is okay. But love is not mathematics. and sex, absolutely not. And if the mathematics continues in the head and you are making love, you are simply wasting energy. And this whole effort will be disgusting. Mind can be changed. Tantra says there are seven centers and mind can be changed to any center. And each center has a different functioning. And if you concentrate on that center, you become a different man. There has been a military group, just like Kshatriyas, samurai. They are trained to be soldiers. And their first training is to bring the mind down, just 2 inches down the navel. They call it in Japan hara. To bring the mind to the hara. And unless a soldier can bring his mind focusing to the hara, he is not allowed to go for a fight. Because they say, and they rightly say, and samurai are the greatest fighters the world has ever known, the greatest warriors. There is no comparison all over the world of a samurai. He is a different man, a different being, because his focusing is different. They say, when you are fighting, there is no time. Mind needs time to function. It calculates. It needs time. If you are attacked and your mind thinks how to protect, you have missed the point already. You have lost. There is no time. You must function timelessly. And mind cannot function timelessly. Mind needs time, howsoever short. Mind needs time. Below the navel, there is a center hara, which functions timelessly. If the focusing is at the hara and the fighter is eating, then his fight is intuitive, not intellectual. Before you attack him, he knows. It is a subtle feeling in the hara, not in the head. It is not an inference. It is a psychic telepathy. Before you attack him, before you think of attacking him, the thought has reached him. His hara is hit. He is ready to protect himself. Even before you have attacked, he is in defense. He has protected himself. Sometimes if two persons are fighting, and both are samurai, it is a problem to defeat any. They cannot defeat the other. It is a problem. No one can be declared the winner. In a way, impossible. Because you cannot attack the man before you attack, he knows. There was one Indian mathematician. The whole world was wonderstruck because he will not calculate. You give him the problem. Ramanujam was his name. And he will give you the answer immediately. One of England's best mathematicians, Hardy, was mad after Ramanujam. Because Hardy was one of the best mathematicians ever born. And for a particular problem, he had to work on it for 6 hours. And Ramanujan, you give him the problem and he answers you immediately. There is no possibility of the mind to function in this way. Mind needs time. Ramanujan was asked again and again, how do you do it? He will say, I don't know. You put the problem and the answer comes to me. It comes somewhere below. It is not from my head. It was coming from the heart. He was not aware. He was not trained. But this is my feeling, that he must have been a Japanese in his previous birth. Because in India, we have not worked much upon the hara. Tantra says, focus your mind on different centers, and different will be the results. This technique is concerned focusing on the tongue, in the middle of the tongue. Why? With mouth slightly open, as if you are going to speak. Not closed. Slightly open, as if you are going to speak. Not speaking, just going to speak. The mouth is open, expectant to speak. Then, keep mind in the middle of the you will have a very strange feeling. Because the tongue has a center just in the middle, which controls your thoughts. If you suddenly become aware and you focus on that, your thoughts will stop. Just in the middle. Focus as if your whole mind has come to the tongue just in the middle. Let the mouth be slightly open as if you were going to speak, and then focus the mind as if it is not in the head. Feel it, it is in the tongue just in the middle. Tongue has the center of speech, and thought is speech. What you are doing when you are thinking? Talking within. Can you think anything without talking within? You are alone. You are not talking to anyone. You are thinking what you are doing while you are thinking. Talking within. Talking to yourself. Your tongue is involved. Next time while you are thinking, be aware, feel your tongue. It is vibrating. As if you are talking to someone else. And then feel it, and you can feel that the vibrations are in the middle. They arise from the middle and then they spread all over the tongue. Thinking is talking within. And if you can bring your total consciousness, your mind, to the center of the tongue, thinking stops. So those who have been practicing silence, they are simply practicing not to talk. And if you stop talking outwardly, then you will become very deeply aware of talking inside. And if you remain for 1 month or 2 months or 1 year completely silent, not talking, you will feel your tongue vibrating violently. You are not feeling it because you go on talking and the vibrations are released. But even now, if you stop and become conscious while thinking, you will feel your tongue vibrating a little. Stop your tongue completely and then try to think. You cannot think. Stop your tongue completely, as if frozen. Don't allow it to move. You cannot think then. And the center is just in the middle. Bring your mind with mouth slightly open, keep mind in the middle of the tongue, or as breath comes silent in, feel the sound ha. This is a second, just similar, second technique. Or as breath comes silently in, feel the sound ha. With the first, your thinking will stop. You will feel a solidity within, as if you have become solid. When thoughts are not there, you become immovable. Thoughts are the inner movement. And when thoughts are not there and you have become immovable, you are part of the eternal, which only appears to move but is immovable, remains unmoved. In thoughtlessness, you become part of the eternal, the unmoved. With thought, you are part of the movement. Prakriti, the nature, is movement. The world is movement. That's why we have called it the sansara. The sansara means the wheels, moving and moving and moving. The world is movement. And the hidden, the ultimate, is unmoved, unmoving, immovable. Just like a wheel is moving, but a wheel is moving on something which never moves. A wheel can move only because in the center there is something which never moves, remains unmoved. The world moves, and the transcendent remains unmoved. If your thoughts stop, suddenly you drop from this world to the other. With the movement stopped inside, you become part of the eternal, that which never changes. The second R, as breath comes silently in, feel the sound ha. Open your mouth slightly as if going to speak. Then inhale. And be aware of the sound which is created by inhaling. It is just ha. Exhaling or inhaling. You are not to make the sound. You are just to feel the incoming breath on your tongue. It is very silent. It is. You will feel ha. It will be very silent, very slightly audible. You will have to be very alert to be aware of it. But don't try to create it. If you create it, you have missed the point. Your created sound will be of no help. The natural sound that happens when you inhale or exhale. But the technique says, while inhaling, not exhaling. Because while exhaling, you will go out. And with the sound, you will go out. And the effort to go in. So while inhaling, hear the sound. Go on inhaling and go on feeling the sound. Sooner or later, you will feel that the sound is not created only at the tongue. It is being created in the throat also. But then it is very, very inaudible. Very deep alertness can become aware of it. It starts from the tongue, then by and by, be alert, go on feeling it. You will hear in the throat. Then you will start hearing in the heart. And when it reaches heart, you have gone beyond mind. These all techniques are just to give you a bridge from where you can move from thought to no thought, from mind to no mind, from surface to the center. The third technique, center on the sound Om without any A or M. Center on the sound Om, U-A-U-M, Om, without any A or M. Just the U remains. This is a difficult technique. But for some, it may be suitable, particularly those who work with sound, musicians, poets, those who have a very sensitive ear. For them, this technique can be helpful. For others, those who have no sensitive ear, this is very difficult because very delicate. You have to intone Om, and you have to feel in this Om three sounds separately, A, A, U, M. Intone Om, and in the sound you have to feel three sounds, A, U, M. They are there, infused together. A very delicate ear can be aware, intoning can hear A, U, M separately. And if you cannot hear three separately, they are separate, very close but separate. If you cannot hear them separately, then this technique cannot be done. Your ears will have to be trained for it. In Japan, particularly in Zen, they train the ears first. They have a method of training the ears. The wind is blowing outside. It has a sound. The master will say, concentrate on it. Feel all the nuances, the changes. When the sound is angry, when the sound is furious, when the sound is compassionate, when the sound is loving, when the sound is strong, when the sound is delicate, feel the nuances of the sound. The wind is blowing through trees. Feel. The river is running. Feel the nuances. For months together, the meditator will be sitting just by the side of the bank of the river, listening to it. It has different sounds. Everything is changing. In the rain, it will be flooded. It will be very much alive, overflowing. The sounds will be different. In the summer, it will be reduced to nothingness. Sounds will cease, but there will be inaudible. If one is listening, he can listen. Year round, the river will be changing, and one has to be aware. In Hermann Hesse's book, Siddhartha lives with a boatman, and there is no one. The river, the boatman, and Siddhartha. And the boatman is a very silent man. He has lived all his life with the river. He has become silent. So he never speaks. And whenever Siddhartha feels lonely, he tells to Siddhartha to go to the river. Listen to the river. It is better than listening to human words. And then by and by, Siddhartha is attuned to the river. Then he begins to feel the moods. The river changes moods. Sometimes it is friendly and sometimes it is not. And sometimes it is singing and sometimes it is beeping and crying. And sometimes there is a laughter. And sometimes there is sadness. And then he begins to feel that the slight, delicate differences. His ear becomes attuned. So, in the beginning you may feel it difficult, but try. Intone Om. Go on intoning it. And feeling A-U-M. Are combined together in it. Om is a synthesis of three sounds. When you start feeling them differently, then drop A and M. Then you cannot say Om. A will be dropped, M will be dropped. Something you will remain. Why? And what will happen? What will happen? The real thing is not the mantra, it is not A-U-M or dropping. The real thing is your sensitivity. First you become sensitive of three sounds, which is very difficult. And when you have become so sensitive that you can drop A and M, and only the middle sound remains. In this effort, you will lose your mind. You will be so much engrossed in it, so deeply attentive to it, so sensitive in it, you will forget to think. And if you think, you cannot do this. This is just an indirect way to bring you out of your head. And so many ways have been tried. And they look very simple. And it seems, what can happen? Nothing will happen by such simple methods. But miracles happen. Because they are indirect. They are just trying to focus your mind to something very subtle. If you focus at it, you cannot go on thinking. Mind will drop. And suddenly one day you will become aware what has happened. In Zen, they use cones. One of their famous cones is, they tell to the beginner, go and try to hear the sound of one hand. You can create a sound with two hands. If one hand can create a sound, hear it. One small boy who was serving a Zen master, he saw many people coming. They will come to the master, put their head in his feet, and then they will ask, and the master will tell them something to meditate on. He will give him a cone. The boy was just doing some work for the master. He was serving him. He was just 9 or 10 years of age. Seeing every day many people coming and going, one day he also came very seriously. Put his head in the master's feet and then asked him that give me some cone, some object for meditation. So master laughed, but the boy was very serious. So the master told, okay, try to hear the sound of one hand. And whenever you have heard, then come to me and tell. The boy tried. He couldn't sleep the whole night. In the morning he came and he said, I have heard. It is the sound of the winds blowing through the trees. The master said, but where is the hand involved in it? Go again and try. So he will come every day. He will find some sound and then he will come. And the master will say, this is also not that. Go on trying, go on trying. And one day the boy didn't come. The master waited and waited, and then he told his other disciples, go and find out. It seems the boy has heard. So they went around. He was sitting under a tree, absorbed, just a newborn Buddha. They came and they said, but we are afraid to disturb the boy. He is looking just a newborn Buddha. It seems he has heard the sound. So the master came, put his head into the boy's feet, and asked him, have you heard? It seems you have heard. The boy said, yes, but it is soundlessness. How this boy developed, the sensitivity developed. He tried every sound. He listened attentively. Attention developed. He will not sleep the whole night. He will listen. What is the sound of one hand? He was not so intellectual as you are. So he never thought that there cannot be any sound of one hand. If the cone is given to you, you are not going to try. You will say, what nonsense. There cannot be any sound with one hand. The boy tried. The master has said, there must be something in it. He tried. He was a simple boy. So whenever he will hear something, and he will feel this is something new, he will come again. But by this process, his sensitivity developed. He became attentive, alert, aware. He became one-pointed. He was in search. The mind dropped. Because the master said, if you go on thinking, you may miss. Sometimes there is the sound, which is of one hand. Be so alert that you don't miss it. He tried and tried. There is no sound of one hand. But that was just an indirect method to create sensitivity, awareness. And one day suddenly everything disappeared. He was so attentive that only attention was there. Sensitive, only sensitivity was there. so aware, not aware of something, simply aware. And then he said, I have heard it, but it is soundlessness. It is soundlessness. You have to be trained to be attentive, to be alert. Center on the sound Om without any A or M. And this is just a method to make you very delicately aware of subtle nuances of sounds. Just doing this, you will forget Om. Not only A will drop, not only M will drop, one day suddenly you will also drop. And there will be soundlessness. And you will be a newborn Buddha sitting under a tree. Enough for today.